The song that the choir sang, it's noted in your bulletin, is entitled, I Belong to the King. And next they're going to sing, Somebody's Praying for You. But there is some significance in those two songs. And first of all, I want to thank Twyla, who did the research, and the choir who worked with her in practicing these songs. But the writer of these two hymns, I'm kind of related to her through the Reed family. And so I just wanted to share with you this morning. You know, sometimes we just, again, we're busy and lots of things happening. We're preparing for Christmas and life happens. And we sometimes forget about our past and memories that remind us of lots of things. But these two songs were written by Ida L. Reed. And she, in her lifetime, has written over 2,000 hymns and songs. And the best known was I Belong to the King. But she grew up experiencing lots of illnesses in her life and family illnesses and lots of poverty. But it's really neat, as we research this, she always believed that God's love was available to her and that God would always take care of her. And so she wrote all these songs, and she really could have made a lot of money, but she didn't get any of the patents on any of these songs. She like would sell them for a dollar. And but that was, God used that gift of hers. And so reminding you this morning of these gifts, and we talked about last Sunday about being thankful for the gifts that you already have, being thankful for the gifts that God's given you, that you can use them for His glory. So this lady went on to write lots of songs, and she also has written poems and children's stories for Sunday school that are still being used throughout the world. So again, that seed was planted. I don't know how she first began in Sunday school or reading songs or whatever, but she used that gift that God has given her to be a blessing to so many people. So we certainly are honored today. Like I said, Twyla did the research and found these songs. So this morning, we're going to present both of these songs, Somebody's Praying for You and I Belong to the King. And if you were to be driving along Philippi, there's a marker there on the Arden Road north of Philippi that points the way to her birthplace and home. And that sign that's posted there reads, Ida L. Reed, northeast 3.5 miles is the birthplace of Ida L. Reed, born on November 30th, 1865. She became famous for her religious writings, chiefly cantatas, poems, and hymns, of which she wrote over 2,000. Her hymns have been used in the services of 11 denominations in America. Many have been translated into foreign languages. Her most noted is I Belong to the King. Miss Reed died on July 8th in 1951, is buried there in Philippi. So we're going to present these to Harold and Judy Reed this morning. And we're so thankful that we can do that for you. And thankful to the choir to be able to do that for you this morning. So now we're going to sing Somebody's Praying for You. And that's always good to know. thank you for doing that. I think that's always good to know that someone is always praying for us. As I've indicated to you over and over, that it's so important that when we tell people we're going to pray for them, we certainly should be doing that. I believe people are counting on that. We have several that are in some difficult situations this morning, and they're glad to know that their church and that someone is praying for them. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I always, you know, am trying to just kind of reflect and think about what's happening all around us and what's going on around us. And I said to you that wherever it is that God takes you and whatever it is that God does for you and wherever it is you might be, you know, we're to be thankful for those moments, right? And so, you know, yesterday I was just thinking, I think I shared this before, in the Christmas parade, there were lots of things in the Christmas parade. I mean, there was a nice, you know, cement truck with lights around it. And there were other things in the Christmas parade. Every year I say this, I mean, there should probably be more things in the Christmas parade that would indicate Christmas, right? I mean, everybody wants to be in a parade. And sometimes we just say, oh, let's pile on the truck and throw some lights on and get in the back of the trailer and let's be in the parade. And that is great. People love to see people in the parade and try to catch soggy candy, I guess, and so forth. But, you know, in walking through the parade, and again, I somehow, you know, I get myself in trouble all the time. This happens to me all the time. I told the city manager that I would help her with the Christmas parade. And then all these people are calling saying, hey, I'm calling to sign up for the Christmas parade. Well, what are you calling? Well, I was told at the city office that you were in charge. I didn't know that. But really, there's not really a big deal to be in charge of the Christmas parade. I mean, come up on top of the hill and get in line and let's all go. And please don't take this the wrong way. I guess I just never really, since I was in charge and lining things up and trying to figure it out, I just don't know what's Christmassy about a bunch of bikers going through town and just, I don't know what's Christmassy about that. And yeah, their bikes were lit up and just, I did that. And they kept doing that on top of the hill. I'm thinking, okay, the parade hasn't started yet. Stop doing that. You know what I mean? And so during, and nothing against bikers, but they just kept doing that. I'm thinking, oh. And so then I get this call on my cell phone, and the fire chief wants to know where Santa Claus is. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, what are you talking about? Well, he's supposed to be up there with you. I said, I don't see Santa Claus around here. He said, well, we're not sure where he is. I said, well, now that might be bad. I mean, will it be bad? A Christmas parade without Santa? I don't know. You probably should have Santa at the end of the parade. We should probably find out where Santa is. So Santa did show up, and he ended up in the parade, worked out fine. And then we came to the Lighthouse for the Christmas community and concert, and we were listening to songs about Christmas. And so when we think about this whole idea of Christmas, you ever thought about this? I mean, why? I mean, I was thinking and praying and thinking about that question. Why would he come? Why would Jesus do this? Why would God have it to be done? I mean, why would he come? Think about this. I mean, we know today our world, we talk about the negative of things that are happening all the time in our world. And we wonder, you know, is it going to get any better? Is that going to happen? What's going to happen? Can we go to the next slide? This isn't working. Yeah. So that question of why would he come? Think about that. Now again, we think about Christmas and not taking anything away from Christmas. Your celebrations, your decorations, your parties. I believe those are nice ways to indicate that we do celebrate Christmas. But that's not the most important. We don't want to lose sight of why we celebrate Christmas. It's because he came. And I think a lot of times in our faith, and even a lot of times in the church, we talk about how Jesus died for you. And on our float yesterday, going through the parade, I liked how some of our kids are saying, come to church! You know, and Xavier, and come to church and learn about Jesus. I thought that was great. Oh, that's Christmas float to me. And so Think about that. So we always think about Jesus dying on the cross, and today we're going to take communion, remembering his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, but he had to be born first. And so at Christmas, we don't want to lose focus of that. I mean, at Easter, we know that's certainly what Easter is about, but every day are we thankful for this gift. And why would he come? Why would he come? And I just want you to understand this morning. Just maybe if you don't understand or get anything out of the message, just why would he come? He came because of you. He came because of all of us. Even the people that aren't in church this morning. Even the people that don't believe this to be true and celebrate Christmas for other things. That he came for you. He came for all of us. Because God sent him that he would be a gift to the world. But when you bring this whole idea of hope, you know lots of people, I know lots of people, I see lots of people, and hear lots of people who say they have no hope. And you can see that on their face. You can even see it in their demeanor and the way they live, walk, and talk, that they feel like there's no hope and they're hopeless. I see that a lot in kids. It's sad. In elementary school kids, and certainly middle school kids. And they've just been beat up so much and told so many times they can't do it and they won't amount to anything. He came because of this hope. Why would he come? To bring us hope and help us realize that he is our only hope. Thinking about this song that our worship team, Twist of Faith, wrote about he's the only one that can help us, that God's the he's the only one that can help us. It's an original TOF song, but he is. He came because he's the only one that can help us. Nobody can, and he's the only one that can save us. He's our only hope. So we're going to look at three verses this morning, Philippians 2:5-8, to remind us, why has he come? Why would he come for you? You might even ask that question to someone even today or tomorrow at work or your schedule and routine and ask them, why would Jesus come? Well, he wouldn't come for me. Look at me. Yes, he would. He came for all of us, no matter what. God came and sent his son Jesus for everyone. Jesus came for everyone, no matter what. Everyone, no matter what, to bring us hope. So let's look this morning in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. And verse 5, it's interesting here. In your relationships with one another, think about all your relationships in your family, your spouse, friendships, all your relationships have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Do we? In all the relationships that we're in? Our dating relationships, our married relationships, our relationships with friends, our relationships at work. I mean, God sent his son Jesus to bring us hope, and we should be living with that hope. We should be sharing that hope, being an example of that hope, knowing that God loves us no matter what. And when these obstacles and things happen, I was thinking this morning that there were some people yesterday that found themselves in some difficult situations, and they called me. And I didn't think about me being the pastor or anything. I think, wow, I mean, these people really need some help right now. And they're really counting on me to pray. And so I started praying. I actually hung up on my brother Kent, who was trying to call me, and I was trying to talk to someone. I hung up on him twice because I told him, I'll call you back. And he said, what was so important? I think it's 9:30. He was calling to tell me about the Mountaineer Bowl game. I really don't really care at this point. So someone really needed prayer. So, oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, I'll call you back. I didn't call him back. I'll call him today, right? I'll call him today. That'll be important today, but it wasn't important then, right? So in these relationships that we have with people, think about it. In these relationships that you have with people, do they know to call you? When they're in trouble, do they know that you'll pray with them and for them? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Verse 6. The mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Think about that. He didn't come here to the earth for his own gain or his advantage. He came for you. He came for me to bring us hope. That's why he came. He came for you. He didn't come for himself or to make himself look better with God. I mean, God found favor as his son. He sent him, his only son. Yeah, he sent him to die, but he sent him to live here first, right? So he didn't come for anyone else or anything else but for you. And in verse 7, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He came for you. Why did he come? He came for you that you might have hope. He didn't come for any other reason. For his own personal gain, he came for you. And he became nothing. I mean, he was born in a lowly stable, right? And it probably stunk there. It did stink there, right? And we actually are going to be depicting that whole idea with our youth skit for Christmas. And how we sometimes forget in our busyness, in our own schedules, that Jesus came for us and made himself nothing for us. And we get too concerned about all these other things that really amount to nothing if we really, really survey that whole idea. And in verse 8 it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So why did he come? He came for you. Not for his own personal gain. He came because he loved you. God knew that we needed a Savior. This place was out of control. The world was falling apart. People weren't listening to him. People weren't following his commands. So he sent Jesus. Why did Jesus come? Because he wanted to be obedient, right? Jesus wanted to be obedient to God the Father all the way to death. All the way to death. Why did he come? He came for us, not for himself, to be obedient to God and to do exactly what he asked him to do. And we think about Jesus and his life and coming as nothing. But think about Jesus. What a world he came into. No mansions. I mean, a tree trunk would have been good for him, right? Jesus came to the earth for us. That's why he came. He came because he loved us that much. So we think about that this morning, just those three verses. But I want you to think about verse 5. In all your relationships, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who came for no one else or for nothing else but for you. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient by death, even death on a cross. So this morning we light this one candle, this purple candle, and the Rotties did a great job with that this morning. Thank you to them. So we light this candle. What's that really mean? Well, you know, we light these candles every Sunday. What's that represent? Well, we bring in the light of Christ. And then we take the light of Christ with us. And we're reminded in the promises of God, just like on the rainbow, that God's with us, that he's always with us. God is always with us. And we light this candle this morning to represent the hope that we have in Christ. Why did he come? To give us hope. Why did he come? That he was the light of the world, so that we would be the light of the world, right? That people would see the hope and love of Jesus in us, right? And we think about all this that's before us this morning, the star, and all these ornaments this morning that are on the tree. Why did he come? For you. Because he loved you that much. So this morning we realize that Jesus came to be your hope, our hope, the only hope, right? Why did he come? Well, he came to bring hope to you and to everyone. Every human being, think about that. Even the people you don't like, right? Even the neighbor just really gets on your nerves, right? Jesus came for them too. Jesus came to bring hope for all people. So this morning, you know, I think about that question, why did he come? And then I think about, why did you come this morning? you could have slept in this morning. Well, I was really tired this morning. And I'm really hot right now. But I can stay in bed. No, I wouldn't do that. Because when I get up in the morning on Sunday, I'm excited to be here. Why'd you come this morning? Because I believe that you've come this morning because you understand this hope, right? And you understand this whole idea of Advent and why Jesus came. But I want us to think about verse 5. In all of our relationships, now until the day we celebrate Christmas, think about all those relationships that you're in. And all your relationships, do they know that you know Jesus? Do they know you love Jesus? Do they know that they can pray? He'll pray with you and for you. And all of our relationships, be Christ-like. And all of our relationships, shine Jesus and share his hope. So this morning as we come to the table and break bread together and drink of the wine together, we do this in remembrance of him. We understand why he came. He came to bring us hope. And he came to suffer and die so we have hope forever. He loved us that much. He came to be obedient. So when we come to the table today, surrendering everything, asking him to forgive us, and confessing and surrendering that we might be obedient to him as well in all things. Father, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. As we enter into Advent, we are familiar with the songs at Christmas, familiar with the hymns during Advent. I pray this year might be different. That we'll understand why you've come. And we'll help other people understand why you come in the relationships that we're building all around us. That people might see Jesus, your Son, living in us. They might see the light of Christ. They might know that there's hope for all of us. And you love us in that way. God, I pray that we would just spend the last few minutes of our time together this morning with you. And God, that you forgive us of our sins. And that we know that you love us no matter what. Why did you send your Son Jesus? Why did he come? Because we need you. We need you. And you know what's best for us. God, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to make any kind of decision for salvation, rededication, or join the church, be baptized, or be involved in a ministry, whatever it might be, I pray they make that decision right there in their seat. And share it with the others. Gosh, I think this every Sunday. So many people come in here with all these burdens and concerns. We forget to believe in you. May we do that before we come to the table. Father, we love you. Thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.